So can it work? President Obama's plan, like Bill Clinton's Kosovo campaign, is concentrated on an air war. But even that took far longer than NATO expected. Classic counter-terrorism strategy involves troops on the ground. Iraqi troops haven't so far proved very reliable against IS. And IS in Syria is itself the result of chaos and infighting among anti-Bashar al-Assad forces. Richard Barrett is a senior vice president at the Sufan Group, a security consultancy based in New York. He's a former director of global counterterrorism for Britain's SIS, also known as MI6. He's also headed the UN monitoring team on Al-Qaeda and the Taliban from 2004 to 2014. David Mark asked Richard Barrett first whether President Obama could achieve his aim of degrading and destroying Islamic State.
He may be able to degrade, and he probably will be able to degrade ISIL, but to destroy it will take a lot more. And destroy it will really take the engagement of the community and the region, much more than it will the engagement of the United States. He talked about fighting for opportunity and progress and brighter future for the people of the region. Well, he will. He will fight for that. But it's a different culture. It's a different people. It's a different set of circumstances. And it's not something that is going to be changed dramatically by knocking over some of the people who are fighting there. You have to understand a little more, I think, why those people are fighting, why they're attracting support, and what it will take ultimately to destroy them altogether.
Richard Barrett, the great lesson out of the Iraq War was that in order to run an effective counter-terrorism strategy, you must win the hearts and minds of the people. Is Barack Obama's four-point strategy going to win the hearts and minds of the people who are fighting the IS fighters?
Well, as he said himself, you know, it's a question of mobilizing the Sunni communities. It's a question of, as he put it, standing with the people who fight for their own freedoms. But if the Sunni tribes fight for their own freedoms against the Islamic State, they're not necessarily guaranteed to achieve them from the Iraqi government. So those issues are, to a certain extent, outside American control. There's only so much he can do, because some of the problems that are faced by the region are deeply ingrained in society. The Sunni-Shia sectarianism, for example, the difficulty of the ordinary person to have a say in the government of his country, the endemic corruption, and all sorts of problems like that, which, however much leadership you provide from outside, can only really be solved from inside.
Well, let's look at President Obama's strategy in a little bit more detail. There are four parts to it, beginning with airstrikes, be they in Syria and Iraq. Now, what is that going to entail?
Well, yes, he says airstrikes in conjunction with the Iraqi security forces, of course. So I think it will entail quite a lot of very close coordination and, of course, a lot of intelligence, because you can't just strike the odd truck wandering around in the Iraqi desert. You have to do a concerted attack that knows what the tactics of the Islamic State are and is countering them directly. He also says, of course, that he won't hesitate to strike elsewhere, meaning in Syria, if the Islamic State is threatening American interests there. But I wonder still what it is that is going to trigger American airstrikes in Syria, because clearly he doesn't have ground troops there. And nor, of course, does he have the agreement of the Syrian government to mount its strikes.
In the previous Iraq wars, I go back to 2003, the shock and awe campaign, huge amounts of munitions were dropped on Iraqi fighters, but it never does the job, does it? So can airstrikes alone do the job?
No, they cannot. I think you're absolutely right on that. Airstrikes are fine in remote and rural areas, but as soon as you start striking the Islamic State in cities, then you're bound to be affecting civilians. Civilians will certainly be in danger. And then you come into all sorts of complications, not just to the fact you've killed civilians, but also, of course, that you're alienating their families, their tribes, and indeed the broader population.
Let's look at point two, which is essentially providing support to fighters in Iraq, Kurds, Iraqi forces, and also opposition forces in Syria. There's going to be 475 American servicemen on the ground. How much can they do, and how much support can the US really provide?
I guess that 475 troops doesn't sound like very much, but 475 specialists, of course, will make quite a difference. But again, you make a very valid and good point that this is not going to happen overnight. You can't put 475 additional troops in there and hope that somehow that's going to transform the Iraqi army even in a matter of weeks. This is going to take a long time.
I just want to go back very briefly, if I could, to one of the very specific premises that's underlying this, the fact that IS represents a threat to the people of the US and beyond. Is he right?
No, I don't think they're really interested in America, and I don't think that they really see much advantage in attacking America or American interests or Australian interests or Australia itself. But nonetheless, we can all think of plenty of examples of citizens of Australia, of United Kingdom, and even of America doing things which would threaten us. And they say that they're going to come and get us and so on. Well, is it bravado, is it bluster, or is there some sort of element of truth in that or of intention in that? I think at the moment it's bravado and bluster. But if ISIS get really knocked back, if they become really too weak to operate a state anymore and collapse, then there will be a dispersal of a lot of radicalized people, and many of them will find their way home, and perhaps they'll still be resentful of the activities which led to the downfall of ISIS sufficiently to launch an attack on those they see responsible.
Counterterrorism expert Richard Barrett speaking to David Mark.